Blog Talk Radio.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. So mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration when human respect is disintegrating. This whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me there is in Red China, then take a look around to Selma, Alabama. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to take rest and tell me.
Yeah. What was once old is now new again. That song, Eve of Destruction, performed by Barry McGuire. I don't think he wrote it, but he was the artist that put it on the map. 1964. Yeah. 58 years ago. Tell me what's different, America. Tell me what's different. Did we come full circle? Did we change at all? I'll be damned if I know. Saturday night special here on Conservative Perspective, Patriot Nation Radio here on blogtalkradio.com. I have been in the middle, and some of you know this, some of you don't, taking this class that's helping to train me to take some teaching certification tests. And it's a 16-week deal, and I've been in it for a few weeks now. And it cuts into the Thursday night show because every other Thursday I have these classes I've got to attend to, so I haven't been able to do it. And with the studying and a few other things that have been going on this spring, my show schedule's kind of suffered. It's went a little sideways, and it may be that we're looking at a period of time where I do a show where I can, and that's what's going on tonight. I didn't do a show last Tuesday. I didn't do a show Thursday. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, you do this, and I've done it for a while now. I'm trying to think. The weekend of Thanksgiving 2012, Barack Obama had just recently won re-election. And it was something that I had been kicking around the entire first term. And then when he won re-election, that was it for me. I felt like I had something I had to say, and so I started doing so. That's 10 years ago. You miss it. I miss it. And so I was kicking it around, talking with one of the guys at Patriot Nation Radio, Mr. Kevin White, our guest this evening, incidentally, and decided I was going to do a show tonight. He was available and is going to be with us. I'm going to bring him up now. He is author and publisher. He's written the book. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. let me go back. Sorry. Our guest tonight, Kevin White. He's the publisher that has Brownie Fox Publications. He's also a radio host in his own right with the American Legions radio program, heard on Patriot Nation on Wednesdays at 7. He is a veteran. He is an author. He is a musician. He is a car guy. He is a friend of our program. He's a friend of me. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kevin White with us this evening. Kevin, welcome. It's nice to have you back. Been a while, but we're really glad that you're here this evening.
Hey, I'm glad to be on, and I'm glad you're back. I haven't heard from you for a while, so we miss your voice and your show, and I understand your education. Sometimes it comes first. I mean, same with my education, everybody else's. Sometimes you got to get that done. Whether you want to keep your job or you want to further yourself as an individual, I totally get it. I understand that. So I'm glad to be on your show tonight. I like the topics you have.
Well, yeah, as I like to say to Michael Cutler all the time, we live in interesting times. And it's kind of a riff off an old Chinese curse. And we do live in some interesting times. And, you're an Air Force veteran, worked on fighter jets, right?
That's right.
And
sure did.
I started
on the A-7. Yes.
The Corsair.
That's right. Corsair 2.
Right. The F-4U was the original. Yeah, I saw a lot of those as a kid. We would take vacations at Myrtle Beach. And, Myrtle Beach Air Force Base in the 60s and 70s was a major going concern. It no longer exists now, I don't think. But in those days, 15 minutes before and after the hour, you had flights that would zoom out over the ocean, training flights, wherever they were going. And we saw a lot of Corsairs in the skies over Myrtle Beach back in those days.
Amen.
Nice airplane. Good airplane. Solid airplane.
Yeah.
You have a familiarity with NATO, Kevin, and I'm just going to go ahead and just get right into it. And I'm going to ask you this, something that I found curious. Of course, Ukraine, not a member of NATO, not necessarily, I think, wanting to be a member of NATO, but I think they hold out that application for membership as something else to worry Vladimir Putin. At the end of the Soviet Empire, when everything fell apart, the government that was put in place with the remnants of the USSR was assured by NATO that there would be no further eastward expansion by NATO, because that was something that the Russian Republic really worried about and feared, and with good cause. The territorial dispute with Ukraine and Russia goes back, and again, they're not involved in NATO. So the first question I'm going to have to you is, and it's going to be almost a rhetorical question because everybody kind of knows the answer here, but why is the Biden administration, along with the Zelensky people in Ukraine, keeping this issue of a potential NATO membership dangling in front of Putin, knowing that it could conceivably cause, you know, a greater escalation of this conflict and draw more countries into it.
They're already painting a mustache on Ukraine with the NATO brand. And it's the weirdest thing, because nothing like this, I mean, they're disrespecting the Soviet Union and their wishes and our arrangement, our agreement that we made with them. So this is a provocation in my mind, because nobody in their right mind would do this. I mean, I understand. I don't think the best people are working in the White House. We know that for a fact. So I think this is just terrible ideas, terrible mistakes, and those kind of threats. You got to back them up. I'll tell you right now, and I'll give it into this later. Ukraine is not capable of joining NATO. They don't have the aircraft. They don't have the capabilities. They don't have the infrastructure to do it. So, and I can get into that a little later, because there are details. A lot of people don't know about the MiG-29s, how ineffective they will be in NATO. We have other countries that have those, but they're upgrading. They're all looking to upgrade, because that plane is a dog. So that's one thing I don't believe.
Well, and so that leads me to my next question, since we're talking about inferior equipment, especially aircraft. It almost renders the idea of a no-fly zone as provocative as it would be to the Russians, and they would see that very clearly as a provocation. You know, what would be the point?
There is
beyond,
no,
you know, because the aircraft isn't that great compared to the American stuff that's out there, and his pilot corps, I think, has suffered in this. From what I understand, they've lost. Nobody's being honest, especially the two people that are being the most dishonest about it are the American press and the Russian press, in terms of casualties and equipment that's been lost in this thing.
Yes, and we know how reliable the American press is, right? So you can't believe anybody. So all I know is the MiGs are not going to fight against the Su-35s. And you don't hear that story about, you know, the ghost of Kiev. I'm going to tell you right now, when planes are upgraded, okay, the MiG-29 went into service, I think, or was produced in 77, okay? And the Su-35 is 2008 was the first flight. So let me tell you about aircraft technology. When you go from one generation to the next, the other ones behind cannot even see that aircraft. You don't know it's there because of advanced radars and RWR and all that other stuff. So what happens usually, even in our country, when the F-15E came out, the F-15s couldn't even see them. We'd go to Nellis on the ranges and everything. We could not see them to participate, to take them out, ever. And they would say, you're done, you're dead, you're dead. The F-16s, all the F-16s are dead. All the other F-15s are dead because of the technology advance. You're talking about 20 years there. It's impossible for those MiGs to fight the Su-35s. The only thing equivalent to the Su-35 is the F-22. So there's such a big gap in technology there. And those planes are so unreliable because of the maintenance is ridiculous. It's a gas hog. They're low tech compared to what we have now. They were probably equivalent to the F-16s back in the 80s. But everything's completely different now. Everybody's upgrading, but they are not. And you have to remember this. When a parent country gives you aircraft, like they give them the MiG-29, they're stripped down and they have low technology. We will never get another country, RF-16, that has the same capabilities of what we have. And that's what probably happens in Russia, too. They do it on purpose. You can't ever fight them. And they all have to write agreements saying they will not attack any Russian planes or people before they can get parts. They get all their parts from Russia. I was in Hungary in 2000, right before 9/11. We were flying with the Hungarian Air Force. They had MiG-29s back then, and they were trying to upgrade at the time. They wanted to get the F-16 because it was just hog. You have to change the battery every time that plane flies, believe it or not. That's how low tech it is. And half their planes were parts. And every part came with an ultimatum on it for the Russian Federation. You will not use this for war against us. So you're depending on their supply system for your jets. What do you think is going to happen? They can't get any parts without Russia.
Oh, well, yeah, if they don't like what you're doing, forget about any new avionics or even newer avionics. You're not going to get anything. I think, and there was something about this whole thing, Kevin, and I know you probably felt the same way, even more so because, you know, you're plugged into sources that far outstrip mine. But everyone was talking, and you'll remember this, about 2 weeks into this invasion. Everybody was making noise about this awesome, fearful, terrible armored column. It's 22 miles long. It's 15 miles outside of Kiev. And any day now, it's going to encircle Kiev in a circle of steel and iron. And they're going to grind this city up because this. And then nothing ever happened. And
right.
It occurred to me, because it was just something I thought, I said, well, what is he waiting on? Because every day that this column's out there burning up fuel, burning up food, engines ticking over all the time, and, you know, you got to be in a constant state of readiness. What is he waiting on? And he's waiting to save the infrastructure. He's biding his time to do this and that. Denise Simon published about 2 or 3 days after everybody started making all the noise about this armored column, the fact that when the invasion started, the Ukrainians had some unmanned aerial vehicles that were manufactured by the United Arab Emirates, most likely under license by somebody here involved with the CIA or in the military-industrial complex. But they had them in these drones had a specific purpose in that they were constructed to detect ammunition depots, ground radar systems, fuel depots. So when the Russians came in those early days, they started flying, they started sorting these drones, and the losses have been startling. That column is never, ever going to move. It's been there for over a month, Kevin, and I think all it is now is 22 miles of recyclable material. Every time they moved, they were attacked by the drones. When they tried to get off the roads, they sunk up in the mud. Kiev's not going to be taken on that road with that column. It's just not going to happen ever. And I'm just thinking to myself, he has completely overreached the ability of his planners and of his men and equipment. The last military, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last serious military action that the Russians were involved with in force was 40 years ago in Afghanistan, right?
Right.
So, you know, what's been going on in the meantime, and have we overestimated their capabilities all this time as well?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I don't know if this is a distraction or it's some kind of setup, but I mean, they're getting stuff done in there. The reports from the UN when they actually, the Russians have reported that they are taking over the biolabs there in the country. That was the goal. It wasn't anything else. That's basically what they're saying. But they're at the UN saying, this is what's going on. The United States is behind it. They want action, and China's there too, and other countries are going to jump in. I think that was a distraction. I don't think what we see on TV, just like war we had with Panama. I just left that Panamanian island, and CNN. Oh, while we were there, CNN was reporting on that, and they already cut the cable. But yet they went with the story. You know, you see this all the time in the MSN. I can't trust what I see on TV. As a matter of fact, I don't watch TV because the military, they told us, we had a briefing, CNN cut the cable, CNN is still reporting, it's impossible. This is back in 1988. So
right,
you can't trust them. The military will never, ever watch CNN to get their information. And you got your own intelligence for a reason, because you can't trust our own country. You know how things go. There was no election that was stolen and all that other stuff they talk about. You know, if we went on that kind of logic, I mean, we can't go by what we see. We got to go by what we know. We got intel and everything. We probably know everything that's going on over there with our drones and our satellites. And this is one reason, and we're not doing anything. There's nothing that's got to happen, I don't think. I think this is a terrible mistake to actually take action on this with our forces and with even with NATO. I mean, giving airplanes over there is not going to help anything. You can't even land at the airports probably. So, and that's not the answer. No fly zone will be probably WW3 pretty quick. There's no justification really to have our troops over there, because I think I read and I heard that NATO, Ukraine is actually still a part of Russia. It's not an independent country. It's never been officially won. So they have their own flag and everything. And we did the coup back in 2014. And I think this leads up to why Putin is there. We put that government in. That's us, our CIA, all of our people, Obama's administration, Victoria Nuland,
right.
All that was done. So I think there's more to this than people see. It looks like, because it doesn't make any sense, because look across the fence, they could bring thousands and hundreds of thousands of Russians to get everything free, but they're not. They're not doing anything. I think this is all something else. I think it's smoke and mirrors. I think it's a switch and bait and switch, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I don't think this is what we see at face value. Because I'm telling you right now, if you do war games and Russia does war games and everything, we know their capabilities.
Right.
And, you know, they probably know ours. And this is one little country you could take over on a drill weekend, okay? I mean, it would be no competition. They have
that's what I always thought, because it seemed to me after 3 weeks, they should already have this done. It's taking much longer, I would have thought, than something like this should. In other words, it would seem to me that he would have moved if he was taking over the country. He would have moved his forces in as quickly as possible and established secure areas around all the objective cities that he was looking to take and to control. But that never happened. And
no,
I couldn't
it hasn't
figure out
happened.
What was going on here. Because it seems to
that's
me
the whole
this
point.
Would have been 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. That's the whole point of the military and their operations. You're not supposed to know, and you will never know until it happens. So they're not going to telegraph anything. They're not going to provoke anybody. This is their operation. We do the same thing. So,
CIA has a long history of regime change in countries throughout the world, going back to after the Second World War.
Yes.
They tried it, you know, they did it a lot in South America. They did it in Iran when they threw out Mossadegh and they put in the Shah, and then they abandoned the Shah, and they did it in South America. They did it in Turkey. They've done it. I mean, nobody talks about it anymore. And the assumption, I guess, is since we don't talk about the CIA toppling these governments everywhere, you know, it doesn't happen anyway. It used to happen, but it doesn't happen anymore because we don't talk about it anymore. But that's not the case.
Right. We did it in Libya as well because of a currency change. You know, the other thing is that Russia is under a lot of pressure and, you know, with the World Economic Forum, because they're not accepting anything but gold-backed currency. And that's usually what takes down a country. If you don't get into the bank, the World Bank, then you become a target. Well, I'm telling you, the Russians, there are people in the militaries that know intel, they know everything that's going on. If they have something planned, we probably already know about it, or they know about it. So I think we're probably equal footing there, equal par.
Right.
In that world, the intel world is amazing. And I'm pretty sure there are things that are happening at the White House that are going against that. And this is a, there's a reason why Biden is so the way he is, because he is actually, in my opinion, anti-American, anti-progress. And like you said the other day, he is welcoming the New World Order. So all this will fit together. Things that he's doing are not what Putin wants to happen in his back door with all the, you know, supposed biolabs. And it's been admitted that they're there. I'm not saying it's not a conspiracy theory. Even Victoria Nuland mentioned it under the Obama administration that they have them
right
there. Tulsi Gabbard said the same thing. And this is something Putin is totally against, is the New World Order and the World Economic Forum and all these people. We saw what happened in Canada. He's a product of the New World Order, World Economic Forum. He went to the class or whatever, leadership class or whatever course. He and Angela Merkel and other leaders, they all are part of that. So in essence, this, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm saying that there's so many things, so many that we don't know about or that we're speculating on, things that we see, what they look like. And the military does this a lot. Oh, yeah, they're over here, they're doing this, and they're doing something else completely different. And I think they're using that tactic. Because the Ghost of Kiev was flying an antiquated MiG-29. And usually you'll know who the fighter pilot is or who that guy was who did this. As a matter of fact, I had a message a fighter pilot friend of mine to join the show, if he can get on later, talk about some things. So the SU-35 has thrust vectoring. There is no way a MiG-29 can defeat an SU-35. So Germany got rid of their MiG-29s. They couldn't take them anymore. That's why I went to another jet. Poland wants to get rid of them. They want to be part of this plan. Why? To get rid of those MiG-29s. They've got F-16s now, or they're getting upgraded aircraft. It's not anything you want to be caught in with a modern aircraft. I'll just say that. So that's what alarms me about this, because it's like, wait a minute, MiG-29? Yeah, we used to, like I said, we fought with those, or we trained with those guys over in Hungary. Man, you talk about black smoke, how unmodern the aircraft is. Like you're going back to the, you know, F-4 days. That's what it looked like to us. That's what F-4 looks like when it takes off. Just a big black billowing smoke or a fog or whatever. And it's like you could tell. It's like the same, we're not on the same ground. Our aircraft were advanced. I mean, we could do all kinds of things. And we were not the most up-to-date F-16s at the time that we had. We were a training aircraft, but they could do, they upgraded those things like crazy. You could tell it's completely different. And they were trying to get the F-16 in Hungary, but everything was corrupt. You know, they bribe people, and now they get the more advanced MiG-29, which they didn't really want, but the government makes that decision. And that's what actually happened after we left. So we were actually there for we're trying to sell the aircraft to them or display what we had. And they loved the plane and they couldn't wait to start flying. And we talked to the pilots and the mechanics and everything, but it never happened. Because why? Because it was all about bribery. Russia and Lockheed Martin were bribing these people, their Air Force. We found out later. That's how it works. That's how things work in this world. It's not about what you want. It's about what they're going to tell you to take. So, and they knew, just like, I don't know what happened in Ukraine, but they knew if they got this modern aircraft, they'd be better off. But, and like I said earlier, the reason why you get the lesser aircraft, every aircraft in NATO, every F-16 is less advanced than American F-16s. Most of them are A models, the old ones, right? They have parachutes and they got lower grade avionics. So this is what we did to Iran too with the F-15s. They weren't the same, or F-14s. They weren't the same. They're downgraded ones. You never give anybody your best stuff unless you're the UAE or Saudi Arabia. Some countries can do that. So
well,
they get
let
more
me
modern
ask
stuff
you this.
Than us. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm trying to think of how to phrase the question. It's obvious by now, you know, this isn't going to be the lightning war, the blitzkrieg that it probably should have been if conquest of Ukraine were the case. So now we've dropped into this protracted struggle. Do you think that Putin has an exit strategy, or does he think he needs one? Because is he going to stay?
All he has to do is turn around and go back home. I think this is a ruse for something else. Because I don't know. You can't believe everything you hear. That's the biggest thing. I'm gonna leave. You can't believe everything you see on TV.
Absolutely true. And these stories, though, seem reminiscent of you know, how the Russians got bogged down, and I hate to use that phrase because everyone does, but mired in Afghanistan, even though it's happened kind of quickly here. That was the first thing that came to my mind. But if nothing else, it's taken the spotlight and some measure of the heat away from China's attempts to establish hegemony in the Pacific.
Right. I'll tell you, we were in Afghanistan and we couldn't do anything either. I mean, it's an unwinnable war because of the people. A lot of people don't know I was on the Afghanistan program where I work. So we used to help those guys out, and we knew a lot of the mechanics and the pilots and the ones that didn't make it out. And it's the same thing. And if you go to some of the bases over there, you'll see the wreckage and MiG parts and everything just scattered around the edge of the runways and everything. And that's what they're operating out of. So they left. And so the thing was, we were saying, well, the Russians were smart. They got out. They were there 10 years, but they got out. And we're still there. There's no progress because the Afghans, a lot of them couldn't read or write. Their loyalty wasn't the way we operate, you know, as Americans, and dedication wasn't there. It was just, they were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing, and then they collapsed, and planes flew away, right? The pilots got in them with some mechanics, and they fled instead of fighting. So it's kind of something you expect. But you don't want to admit it, kind of thing.
Right.
So there's no way. And the plan was for them to be self-sustaining and have their own aircraft and equipment. By the way, all that equipment they have was not ours. It was theirs. I keep hearing this on the news. They have all our equipment. It's not ours. And all the stuff they're using, we didn't use in our Air Force anyway. So it was, like I said, they don't get the high-tech stuff. They get stuff. The Jolly Fats Weehawken manufacturer makes for them, but that's the truth. So they're never going to have the same capabilities, and they didn't. But I'm going to say they didn't deserve that because they couldn't take care of what they had. And most of that stuff is broke, hard broke stuff. And they destroyed a lot of it, you know, as we were exiting. But that was all their stuff, had nothing to do with us. But we were there, we couldn't figure that out either. And we pretty much failed there. I think we could have made that a better place. I think if we would have kept an enclave there, we rotate, aircraft in and out every 60 days, every 90 days, it would have worked, but nobody was thinking that far ahead. And the way it collapsed, that right there should have gotten the president impeached. That should have been the nail in the coffin for him, the way he exited that, and the way he messed that up. And I was telling you earlier. Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kevin. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, no. We worked with those guys, those mechanics, those pilots.
Right.
And those guys, most of the guys never got out. Only a few pilots. All those guys, they sacrificed going to work That's how bad it was. Their own country was against them because they were working with Americans. And this is what they got. They got all the lists, as we saw on TV, of the people that were working there and who they were, what their addresses, their families. And I don't know what happened to them, and I don't want to know. But
thousands of those people left behind.
Yes, yes.
The State Department totally falsified that. And who knows? Yeah, and I'm like you. I don't want to know what happened. I probably, even if I could imagine it, it was probably worse.
Yes, and we had Americans over there. They got out at the last minute. So it's really that right there. I can't think of anything more devastating. So when Russia goes after Ukraine and the conflict begins, and then Biden makes his decisions, I keep thinking back to Afghanistan, because that's what I measure this by. This is what we're in for, another Afghanistan. He's not going to make the right decisions, and it's not up to him to do this because he's proven himself to be, in my opinion, inept. He is not a military leader. He doesn't understand. The military is now looking at other things like gender-based training and everything, and this is the worst thing that happened when I was in under Obama. The morale was so low. We had no money, all this stuff. And we're going to respect the females. We have mandatory courses for, how to treat a female. And I told my commander, if you don't know how to treat a female, you don't need to be in the military. Or what kind of person are you to begin with?
Yeah.
So these are not priorities. Transgender is – do you see that? Transgender people in Ukraine are the priorities to get out of the country, and they don't believe in transgender like we do, like our country does. This is how mixed up this president is. This is how dangerous. He has no clue of what reality is, eating pizza with the troops and, speaking gibberish. This is embarrassing. Did you see that?
Yes. And Kevin, again, this is something you know it. I know it. Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea know it. And
right.
It's no different than the kid standing up and saying the emperor has no clothes. This man's mind is gone. He is unfit to be in the position that he's in. And no one, if you suggest that, you're dismissed. The media doesn't even, they just shuffle their papers and they stare off into space when this subject comes up. Or you have Nancy Pelosi, pot calling the kettle black, talking about what a great president Joe Biden's been for the times.
Absolutely. One thing that comes to my mind, the first thing when I heard that we were going to send, or we're talking about the Russians over here, was you're protecting Ukraine because you got the bribes and your son got the business dealings there. So I can't escape saying that this is some kind of like favor he owes them or something like that.
Right.
Or he's tied into this in the wrong ways. And it's so obvious that he has to do these things. There are things that are going to be coming out. I understand. There are things that will be coming out that are going to explain all this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. So, I just got finished reading Schweitzer's book, Red Handed, and I'm about halfway through Laptop from Hell. And that wasn't that long ago, what you're talking about with Hunter Biden and Devin Archer, and there was one other fella in there, Bobby Lansky, and getting on the board at Burisma, and the money that was being sent, and all it was no different than the Clinton Global Initiative or the Bill Hillary and Chelsea Clinton Foundations. It was pay for play, and he was selling the Biden name. He was selling influence with his dad.
Yes.
And no one wants to say a word about it. And yeah, Ukraine is, there are trillions at stake when it comes to a place like Ukraine, because the people that are on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, when they dole out foreign aid to places like Ukraine, there is a kickback. It's almost like a money laundering scheme. And the Poroshenko government, which was the guy that was in there before before Zelensky, the Poroshenko government was one of the best money launderers in the business in Eastern Europe, because they had those companies set up. And it wasn't just the Bidens making money in Ukraine. Look at the people who were on the Foreign Relations Committee, the people that are responsible for handing out foreign aid to all these various countries, and you'll see who was getting the kickbacks. So the all this money tied up in Ukraine, and the involvement, you know, is multifaceted, but I think one of the motivations is these people are trying to protect their investment.
Yes, because you have Pelosi, you have Romney, and you have the big Lurch. It looks like the guy looks like Lurch, okay?
Kerry.
Former Secretary of State.
John F. and Kerry, yeah.
Yes.
Lurch.
So, yeah, that's who you have. They're children to making millions and billions over there and not really doing anything. But from what I understand, that is the most corrupt country in the entire world. And that's where the seat of the New World Order is, or that's their breeding ground. That's what they need. And this is why Soros is saying we need to get rid of Trump, Putin, and what's the other guy? And Xi. He wants them all gone because they're threatening their next moves, I guess. I understand.
Well, and the thing of
yeah,
it is,
I agree.
In addition to being a communist, and don't make any mistake, he was a KGB guy his entire life. You know,
yes.
He was a pioneer. I think he was a pioneer before he went into the KGB. He was at the KGB when they suffered, you know, the Cold War defeat under Reagan. He's a communist. I don't care what kind of government he's got there. He's a communist. But at the same time, like Xi is a communist, and probably more so, I think, with Putin, he's also a nationalist, just like Donald Trump was a nationalist. And I'm not saying that they've got anything in common beyond recognizing their own individual national sovereignties for their respective countries. That's what I mean. And I think Xi Jinping is the same way, but Putin very much more so.
Absolutely. They all want to be left alone. Now, here's what I think. I think they want to be left alone. I know that Xi and China, they have their own brand of dictatorship there, and they do some pretty bad things, but they don't want to go the way the globalists want to go. Neither does Russia. So we all have the same common enemy. But I think we are being sold out to go there. As Biden said, he wants to do the New World Order. He wants to go that direction. But what about us? He doesn't care what we think or what we want to do. He's railing against this. I think this is a bigger picture than what we can see right now. This is a bigger picture of world conquest. We're going to we're going to go to the digital dollar or the digital market and everything. This is all part of their plan. They've been planning this for years. So if you believe in the NWO, it's 1984 all over again, and there are people that are trying to stop it. So this is one reason I think this is not what we think it is, because there's nothing's happening there. I mean, things are cooling down. My old unit I used to belong to, they took their F-16s to Alaska a few weeks ago. Now they're back home. So that's kind of weird, if you ask me. They thought they were going to get into that conflict, but it never happened. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I don't think it's in anybody's interest to start WW3. So,
there are trillions at stake. And if you follow that money, and moving on from this, last week, again, and this happens so many times, Kevin, and you know, you're going to understand what I'm saying. There will be an event that takes place, whatever that event may be. Hunter Biden's laptop, Fast and Furious.
Yes.
Okay, whatever these events are. And you know, I know from having done this for a little bit, how smart some of the people are that seriously get into the weeds on these things. Claire Lopez, for example, Trevor Loudon, another good example.
Yeah, right.
You know, these people, right. Michael Cutler, they know it. And invariably, every time one of these scandals erupts, and it seems to me it's over the passage of 2 or 3, 5 years, we find out all those things that we suspected, all those things that those smart people knew and understood and could infer turn out to be the truth. And Hunter Biden's laptop, no exception. You had the entire upper crust of what is basically now the fourth branch of government, and that's the intelligence community. Everybody in the intelligence community says, it's Russian disinformation. It's not real.
Right.
This is real. Just, you know, it's Russian disinformation. We can't believe it. Obviously, it would be something that somebody as desperate as Donald Trump would want to try and do because he's getting killed in the polls. The people vilify him. They hate him. Joe Biden's all goodness and light, and his poor son who's struggled with being, you know, losing his mom at an early age. And by the way, that was something, you know, they capitalized. What kind of guy capitalizes on the death of his wife and child and turns it into political gain by lying about the whole thing? You know, he said that the guy was a drunk driver. He was killed by a drunk driver, and that was not true. They finally had to threaten to sue him to get him to stop saying that.
Yeah.
You know, I got off base there. But it was true. Everything that we thought, you know, that the mainstream media, the establishment media is covering, they're whitewashing this. These guys in the intelligence community are in the tank for whoever it is that wants Biden to win this thing. And every single word of it is true. And the New York Times finally admits it. And I'm thinking to myself, what happens now? And
I think what happens
Go ahead. I want to hear. What do you think?
Okay.
I don't think anything happens, Kevin. Convicted in the court of public opinion, I don't think anything happens to these people.
Well, I in my opinion, and I've heard this before, if you look up Jack Maxey, okay, Maxey, he's the guy who's pushing this laptop thing, and he's supposed to deliver this information yesterday. I'm not really sure if he did or not because I didn't see it on the news. Well, he says they took the laptop and the hard drive or whatever, the copy of it, and they extracted everything in it. He says there's millions and millions of documents as well as pictures and everything else that connect Biden and Hunter to those biolabs and to what happened during the election and everything. Everything's tied. Biden will be gone. And a friend of mine told me that Durham is involved with that and the lawsuit that Clinton put out.
Okay, now is he named as a defendant or some kind of respondent?
I was going to get onto that next.
This huge lawsuit that Trump's filed is going to make things. I can't wait to hear about this. That's going to be great.
Durham has information on that. Yes, that is
okay.
That would be incredible. But Jack Maxey, if you look up, he's got some previews, but he won't tell you everything up to Friday. But I didn't catch that on Friday. I was kind of busy. But he's supposed to have things that nobody's seen before because of he did a forensic audit of that laptop and everything in it, and they pulled out so many gigs of information. And it has to do with the Ukraine government and the Bidens and everybody else, our other leaders that make millions of dollars in the stock market on one bet kind of thing. So the most corrupt people are on this. So this could be something huge. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's supposed to get, you know, front seat or whatever you want to call it, coverage. And this is why I think you saw the New York Times broke out with it. So something is fishy about this to where before nothing like this would ever happen. New York Times would never tell anybody what's going on, right? This has to be something that's going to happen. I think this is a way to get rid of Biden out of office. So, I mean, that's been kind of the game plan. And I wrote an article about that a while ago, where the plan is to get him out and Kamala at the same time. They were going to put her there up front, but now they realize, oh my God, this is worse than I thought. You know, this is the worst person in the world to be president. I think Biden does a better job than she ever could. She is so out. I did an article about her and her past, and it's scary. And like I always say,
she got
if you're an attorney,
1%, right? Yeah, yes. Willie Brown.
Willie Brown. But the thing is, Pelosi is part of that because Willie Brown worshipped Jim Jones, and so did Pelosi, and so did the other woman that had the Chinese driver.
Feinstein.
They loved him. Yeah,
Diane
they loved
Feinstein.
Him. Why?
Yeah, they did.
Yes.
And
why did they love him?
Not,
because he would.
Go ahead.
He would flood the precincts with the same people all over the city. His followers would vote for those people. And in fact, Kamala Harris did not win the AG position. She lost it and somehow got the votes 3 days later. So all this is, these are what they call California values. That's exactly what that is. So,
and for those
the New
of
York
you
Times
who
coming
familiar,
out.
Jim Jones and the Guyana tragedy in 1977 was almost 900 people were killed there that committed suicide after Leo Ryan had gone down to the and saw what was happening, and they killed him there at the airport as he was leaving, and that was what caused Jones, after he had left the United States, to take his cult to Guyana, and then they all committed suicide, over 900 people in that compound.
Yeah, a lot of them committed suicide by M16 gunpoint.
Yeah.
Have a choice. People try to escape.
Drink Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and that's where you get the term purple Kool-Aid. Drink
right.
Purple Kool-Aid, right? A lot of kids don't know
exactly.
That, but that's where it came from.
And it's,
anyway.
And these are the people, and it's that old saying, yeah. Kevin, water seeks its own level. And look at those people, all of them involved right there.
And they're running the country today.
Yeah.
Yes. Those are the people running the country.
Kevin Newsom is,
yes.
Newsom is Pelosi's nephew. Right.
Uh-huh. That's
and
right.
They're
keeping it in the family.
Sure. And I can't understand. And I ask this of everybody, and I'll ask it of you too. And I know you'll understand the dichotomy as well. There is always, and in the last 50 years at least, there's always been a strong move afoot running in the background of people advocating term limits. And I agree with that. Orrin Hatch said that it was impossible to go to Washington and return an honest man. Harry Truman said, if you're honest, it was impossible to get rich in politics. So America, if that's true, look at all the millionaires in Washington, D.C. And tell me what that means. And I think to myself, okay, that's great. But then I go, well, if you voted the guy in, vote him out.
Uh-huh.
I don't care how honest you are as a politician, you're not going to vote for term limits. you're not going to vote yourself a term limit. You know, either because of self-honesty and I got a good thing going here, and if you think I'm going to cut my own hand off, you got to be crazy. Or you're so altruistic that you I can't get it done in three terms, I'm going to need four, or whatever it is. Whatever side of that argument you want to take, they won't do it. So it's going to be incumbent upon us to remove them. And in order to get the right people in place, we have to have an informed and disseminating electorate. All these people that make noise saying November's coming, you better be ready. And that is, November is coming. And I think there will be a reckoning. But if we replace those people in there now, the bad apples, if we remove the bad apples now and replace them with something that's not going to be fundamentally any different, what have we done? We've traded rhinos is all we've done.
I think we've created a system of corruption oversight. And I think that's the key thing. They answer to no one. They don't even get, legitimate security clearance investigations. They just give it to them. And that's why we have all these Chinese infiltrations. And that's what's happening in Georgia, too, with the Chinese infiltrating the government, the governor and the secretary of state. And they will sit there and lie and swear that everything is going well, just like everybody else does. Everything was fine, the elections and everything. Don't worry about all those ballots that showed up at the middle of the night by freight truck from other states. Don't worry about that. Everything's good. And if you say, and this is just like 1984, if you say this, then you're a liar. Well, you know how things go. The truth isn't there anymore. Nobody cares about the truth. They just, because they know people are going to buy it. People are mesmerized by the mainstream media, and whatever they say is truth. And I think that's the downfall of people taking things they shouldn't take or getting treatments that they shouldn't get and believing that things are the opposite. Just like the Bible says, you believe good is evil, evil is good, and things that are wrong are right because it's influence. Because, you know, back in the old days, everybody believed that whatever you saw in the news was real, was true. And it was. For the most
By
part,
and large, yes, you're right, it was. There was a
authority.
Basis for that belief.
Yes, because it's an authority that we trust. And they can't even get the weather right. They're not going to get the news right these days. So I think what is happening here is as far as the government is concerned, I think power corrupts. Absolutely. So like they always say, and it's true. I mean, there's so many things. Like I heard that Tim Scott received $4 million from a hedge fund in Chicago when he got in office. And stuff like that happens. Now, next thing you know, you're a millionaire, right? And the money is good. I mean, it changes your life. And you don't struggle anymore. This is what's happening behind the scenes. And I have a lot of people who run for office on my show. I had a candidate from Alaska for Congress this year, Mr. Purim, Randy Purim, and he says people actually get threatened. It's not just anything else. I mean, you can get kicked out or whatever, or they won't back you, but they actually threaten people sometimes up that level. And
Now, when you're talking threats, you mean threats of physical violence?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, and Rhonda Fearon, who ran for governor in California, we were talking. She was on one of my programs. She was saying that, I don't know if you watched the election for the recall for Newsom.
Right.
There's a point
in
there in the video where you see the numbers flip. He's behind. The next thing you know, flip, he's ahead, and he wins. Well, she's the only person who did not call it quits. If something happens, she will be the next governor of California. And there's things that are going on. He disappeared for a while. I don't know if you noticed that. People in California have. He completely left his office. Nobody could find him. Now he's back. Something's going on out there. I don't know. He may be out. Anyway, if he is, I told her, I'm going to come visit you when you become governor, because people just want to do the right thing. You're fighting evil. You're fighting empires. You're not just fighting people. And so that's just a candidate. It's a machine. People are going
right.
are getting eaten by these machines. And I'm glad what happened in Virginia, okay? I thought that was beautiful, that the underdog. And even in New Jersey, I believe it was some trucker or something got elected.
Yeah.
People came
close to
doing
it. And it's part of that awakening, I think. And California is a shining example of a great state, possibly the greatest state, gone to waste, gone to absolute waste. When I was a kid, California was like this magical place. All the great TV shows came from California.
Yeah.
Every movie, you were watching California when you would watch TV. Really, because that's where everything was, all your Westerns out in the deserts of California or on the streets of San Francisco or Los Angeles or
right,
Brady Bunch
right.
or wherever it was, you were looking at California, and it was so bright, and it was so, you know, and a lot of that obviously was part of the image, the branding of all that, but that was the image that held in your mind, and that's how they sold it. And when I think of California, that's my baseline to form the opinion of what I think about California today. And to me, California sucks. It's terrible. It's got to be that and Washington State have to be two of the worst states on earth, or in the union, rather.
Absolutely. A great thing that came from California that you probably didn't know this. That's where I was born. So.
Wow.
My dad was at
what happened to him now.
Ever since I left, it just fell apart. You know, my dad was air traffic controller. He was stationed at Beale Air Force Base, and that's where I was born. And I believe my sister was born there too. So we have birth certificates, unlike some people that we know. it's just a matter of who owns who, and they actually own Wall Street. I mean, our politicians at the top, they own this country. So they have there's no fear of repercussions or anything. It's hard to get somebody out like a Pelosi or even a, or a Romney.
Or Schumer.
I mean, it's almost impossible. Schumer, yeah.
And it's sad because, you know, like you say, it's such an incestuous, convoluted relationship between the higher levels of power, Washington, D.C., and corporate America and Washington and the banks. And in a letter, I just happened to think about this, when Ulysses S. Grant was president in the 1880s, William Tecumseh Sherman had written him a letter. They had been close from the time of West Point and throughout the war. But he wrote Grant a letter and said even then that Washington was rotten. It was rancid. And he would be better served moving the capital to some place in the middle of the country, St. Louis, Oklahoma, somewhere like that, he said, where it would be better served for and by the people. And again, that was 140 years ago. And it was true then. And it, just imagine what it is now.
Absolutely. Things have gone so far downhill. So, but, you know, I really don't. I've said this before. I don't blame our government and the leaders that I just talked about and that I dogged or whatever we want to call it. I blame the media because the media gives them power and they'll do whatever. They get their talking points from those guys, so they control the media. If the media was honest and they reported things the way they should have been, they wouldn't get away with this stuff. There's a lot of things that would never happen. They'd report what's really going on in the war. And they just protect. You know, notice how they would have been all over Trump on everything that Biden is doing right now, the economy, inflation, gas prices. And they're not doing anything. They're not saying anything. And they're accepting the excuses from Biden saying, you know, it's not really a problem. You know, we'd rather have this than something else. It's like, but you're messing this up. You're the guy who's making us pay for it. And it's like, who said that? Somebody said something about this is what a democracy does or something. I can't remember who it was. I mean, it might have been Harris, but they're making excuses for things, just like saying that Putin caused this, you know, this inflation.
Oh, the Putin
gas
price
prices
hike.
Go up. Yeah.
Yeah, the Putin price hike, right. Well, what about the year before? what about those months before February?
Oh no. I mean, in a world where we're supposed to be like 1984, that doesn't matter. It's Eurasians one time and it's whatever. So whatever they make up is what you're supposed to believe, and they keep repeating and repeating until people believe it. People actually, I mean, this is amazing. It's like a Svengali or something. They're making people believe things that aren't actually true, but they're going, and he's like, yeah, 100%. I know people who got the vaccine and the boosters and got COVID anyway, when we were told that this is going to protect you. And now they're saying, oh, no, it's just going to lessen it. They keep changing the, you know, moving the goalposts and changing the narrative so it benefits them. And, oh, yeah, kids have heart attacks at, you know, 10 years old or 11 or whatever. And now before you get, I don't know if you've seen this yet, before you can get a physical, you have to have an EKG now in high school. Some schools are requiring that. I don't think it's everywhere, but I heard that yesterday. I'm thinking, wow. That's never been the case. So that's the media. The media makes all these things. It's like the dragon that gives the beast the power from the Bible. This is what it is. The media is the dragon giving power to the beast media. I mean, whatever policies there are, like America's doctor, Dr. Fauci, right? This guy is a sick individual. However, I've heard people say, he's my doctor, he's my hero. What has he done for you? He's not even an MD or anything. What has he done for you? This guy is the longest serving federal employee I've ever heard of. Okay, this never happens. Nobody's in office and in that leadership role and making money on stocks and then with the Gates Foundation. Everybody else would have been fired for doing that stuff. So I was a federal employee for 25 years. I know this is the case. You don't do this stuff. You go to jail. You don't write one email on another server. That's not government. You are in serious trouble. What Hillary did, I would have been. That minute, somebody would have showed up at my door and called me. What are you doing over there? No excuses. They don't care who you are, except you're one of those politicians. That's my point. They have other privileges, extra privileges that we don't. Meanwhile, we lose money. We go in sequestration. We don't get paid. Or before, they never paid us back when they had the budget cuts. Didn't have a raise for like 5 or 6 years under Obama. But everybody else is living off the fat calf. So it's us versus them, actually. And this is why I love that song that says, we must take our country back. I don't know if you've heard that before. We have to take America back, because that's what we have to do. And it's in our Constitution. I'm not saying to be violent or anything, but like I'll let you know, I have a friend who's over there in the 1-6 prison, and she's from Ohio. They took her in July. She just got over cancer. Her husband just had neck surgery. I think he's there too. So things are real. You know, you don't think about this, but I'm telling you what, I mean, these people are suffering at the pleasure of Nancy Pelosi, who I believe set that up. I think she's part of it. Chuck Schumer. And those people need to go to jail, or they need to be hanged, or whatever it takes. They are enemies of our country. So,
well,
that's how I see
things.
That's
a good point. That's a good point, Kevin. And you're right when you mentioned that. And I was talking with Gary Binford last week, or week before last, and he had a conversation with John Guandolo about that, and Guandolo had made the observation. When it comes out, and the truth will out, it always does. When the truth comes out, and we find out just exactly who is who, who's guilty, who's not, will we have the stones to do what has to be done to to the guilty people? And I wonder about that sometimes. I mean, beyond a conviction in the court of public opinion, just like you said, you know, is the ultimate, are we going to have to get the rope? Are we going to have to go that far to make that point, to push the pendulum in the other direction? Are we going to have to do something so extreme? And I think, yes, I think we have to. Will we, though?
And I think the key here is the military doesn't care. They don't have a point. I mean, they'll just do it. If they're given orders to do that, it's a lawful order and they broke the law and the court says they did, they don't care. They'll do it. They don't look at celebrities and think people like that the same way we do in the civilian world. It's a different thing. That's their job. And they don't follow orders blindly. Don't get me wrong. It's a lawful order. They will carry it out. That's their job. Some of these Army guys and Marines have seen so many things. that I've never seen, or most people haven't. I mean, their buddies are killed. I hear these stories all the time. I lost this friend and that friend. We had this advance. We lost 5 or 6 people, or the field was blown up. They've seen so much stuff, crazy stuff, suffering PTSD
right
now. But that's what they do. They're dedicated to the mission, and they will carry that out. No problem. It's not anything anybody wants to do, but that's their job. And there are people, I mean, that's what they do. They're trained to do that kind of stuff. So I have no doubt that the military, by themselves, only authority is their leading commanders or generals or whatever, and the president, whoever is the president or whoever is acting, they will carry that out. So better watch out in 2024 or whatever happens first, because if this president is removed, then things are going to happen. And that's why I look at the New York Times story as, I'm not going to say hope, but a beacon of something that's not, was never supposed to be in today's world. That's my point, is that's unusual that we see that right now. That's the last publication I ever expected to go along with the Hunter laptop and say it's real. So something's up here.
That kind of gives me pause too, because the Times, probably more than the Washington, I think it's the Washington Post, the Times would sit on this as long as they conceivably would. They would never get up off of it unless they knew something bigger, was going to pull it out anyway. And
yes,
I know that there's still,
but they have been.
There's still investigations ongoing with Hunter Biden in terms of back to the laptop. There's still a federal investigation ongoing with Hunter Biden concerning all these different payments from all these different boards that he was sitting on all over the world. And they're going back into the time when and when all this stuff started happening. Was those 8 years? Were those 8 years that Joe Biden was Barack Obama's vice president? And that investigation still hasn't concluded yet. And the thinking is, according to Jesse Waters, Hunter is on the verge of being indicted.
Well, one of his partners was.
Stuff. I'm sorry, what was that?
Did you see one of his partners?
Devin
was.
Archer. Wasn't it Devin Archer that
that
was indicted and sent to he was sent to prison on a it had to do with American Indians. It was some kind of hedge fund for American Indians that was another one of these bogus companies that they set up and fleeced people with. But yeah, Devin's went to jail on this. The thinking might be Joe Biden pardons his son, and then informs the world that he won't be seeking re-election.
I don't think he's going to make it that far.
I didn't think he would make it this far, Kevin.
I didn't either. I really didn't either.
I thought
here's,
he would have been done
here's
by
the convenience.
Summer.
Well, you kind of couldn't do that, because anybody who took over the Afghanistan departure was going to fail if they didn't do it the way that it was set up. So it's kind of hard, because I remember when all the troops left Afghanistan, and I also remember when Biden, and this is very important, Biden passed the deadline that the Taliban wanted him out, and it was like the last second, ooh, we forgot, we got to do this. This is what it was like. It was like, the next thing you know, Austin was over there talking to the troops. It's like, you're too late. You should have been here a month ago. There's no way they can pull this off. There's no way it's going to be a big disaster. And that's exactly what had happened. So there was no planning. It was last minute. And they made this stuff up as they went along, because dates kept changing and everything. I know this is not going to work. And it didn't. So things like that are like, what in the world? What kind of government is this? Even like Austin, who is, I'm assuming, a decorated general, couldn't figure this out unless he was, you know, hamstrung by his leadership, which I'm thinking that's the case right now, the way things are going. I don't think
there's a
organic.
There's a three part. I haven't read all of it, and I'm just kind of was glancing through it while you and I've been talking. There's a three-part series at Breitbart on just exactly what's going on here, what you're talking about with the I don't know what you call it. I don't know if it's ineptitude. I don't know if it's treason. I don't know what it was that happened in
right.
Afghanistan, but it was you know that plane disaster and it's you can find it on Breitbart. There's three parts to it.
Okay.
And yeah, it's everything. It was management by crisis. Whatever popped up was what everybody focused on in terms of whatever the logistical issues were. And the overriding mandate, basically get asses on planes is what Biden said.
Right.
I don't care, you know, if they have an American ID, you know, get them on the planes. And everything was dedicated to just that. The president said open the gates, so we got to open the gate, which meant that they had to forego certain security and defensive measures that could have been in place because time spent doing that was time lost on getting these people onto airplanes. And that was, like I said, that was it. Get asses on planes. Didn't matter.
Yeah, but
and some of the people had no idea whatsoever. Yeah.
Yeah, he gave up the city. He wasn't supposed to give up the city. He just took the airport, which was a big mistake. That's where he failed on that part of it. The Taliban wasn't supposed to be. He's negotiating with the Taliban. This just blows my mind. I can't believe he actually. Oh no, it's actually ISIS A. No, there is no ISIS A. These are the same people. You're making this stuff up. ISIS A. The ISIS people are in prison, and they let him go. They wouldn't have been there. So that the Taliban let them go. They released them. So with all the weapons caches and everything and all the guns and all that. And it's just – and that brings me to conspiracy, too. Was this on purpose so that China can get the lithium? Because he was bought by China and Ukraine. So this works out for China. And the Chinese are waiting for that to happen. They were outside. They came in, and they're doing whatever they want to do. And so this is all part of – it sounds like it's planned. I've heard people tell me that it sounds very much like this went the way it's supposed to because Biden is a puppet of the New World Order. And the New World Order, all I want to do is weaken the United States and you know, take us out of the way. We are the last place in the way for them to carry out their plans. And Biden, like you said, NWO, he accepts it. He thinks this is a great idea because he's a puppet. It's just my opinion. He doesn't care about the United States. The United States is a moneymaker for him. Other countries are too. I mean, he doesn't care. He doesn't
care
what anybody does. Just like
his career in Washington has been fundamentally 50 years of enriching himself and his family off the taxpayers' nickel and off sweetheart deals and nepotism. That's all it is.
Right.
And Robert Reich said that he had been on the wrong side of history his entire political career. He'd been on the wrong side of every point, foreign policy, and there he is. He's in the White House. But China
loves black people.
About
all that matters. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
he loves us black people.
$31 million. Yeah. I'm wondering. They say, and so much of this is theater. Kevin, and I'm not knocking Breitbart because that's one of my go-to sources for legitimate news and reliable. But so much of this is theater.
Yes,
and you made mention of the media, particularly the news media, feeding the politics and the issues. Whatever they may be of the day in Washington, D.C. And I can't remember who it was. Lee Atwater, I think, said that politics was show business for ugly people. And he's absolutely right, because it's yes. the same kind of thing everywhere. If you're a wheel in Washington, when you get out of a cab or you get out of a limo or wherever you're at, there's going to be reporters. There are going to be people taking your picture. They're wanting to know what you think about, you know, whatever the issue is. And
right.
And it's Fauci's the same thing. He got seduced by all the celebrity and the glamour. And I think that he just, being the narcissist that he is, he used it. And I'm just wondering, how involved will the Fauci name be when we find out what is exactly going on in those research laboratories in Ukraine?
Yes, right. Yes.
Okay.
When that
I mean,
comes out, and they've already got a report, yes.
Everywhere there's yes. been some kind of nefarious experiment or you know, torturing puppies or human sacrifice or something, it seems like Fauci's name's involved. And I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting to hear it, because I'm pretty sure I will.
So crazy, isn't it?
We live in interesting times.
So James, this is the reason why I support President Biden's plan to send people crack pipes. So I think we all need one now. We need to take a couple hits, because this is just insane. I understand where you're coming from now.
just sit back and watch the show, man. Grab some
yeah.
popcorn and sit down and watch the show.
I think the show is going to get really interesting.
Gary does this, and I'm going to ask you the same thing, because he does this with all of his guests, or a lot of them. When we talk about this stuff, it, you know, we get kind of moribund, and we when we do laugh at it, it's kind of dark gallows humor. And
yeah.
For folks like us, and you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Rock the Red crowd.
Right.
The big and the small, just everybody in our spectrum, on our side here, you know, it's been a pretty discouraging time. It's been a pretty daunting time. And we look around us domestically here in the country, and we see all these terrible things that we know run contrary. And I'm using my air fingers quotes here, because it's a cliche, but I think it's still a good one. You know, understanding the American way of life as folks like us do, and we see all these things that run counter to it, and we look around the world, and we see all these things that just 2 years ago, a year ago, nations who have hostile intent toward us would never have dreamed of doing. They're emboldened by this weak leadership that we have in the White House. Our economy is in tatters. And, you know, it's just tough times for us. It reminds me of Jimmy Carter. I was alive in Jimmy Carter's time. I was in high school, and it sucked. It really did. It sucked hard. And let's just take a look at those 8 terrible Obama years that we struggled and we suffered.
Oh, man.
And, you know, yeah. we had these four years. Regardless of what BLM and Antifa tried to do, these years of sunlight that we were able to bask in. But what would you say to our listeners to talk them, as Gary says, to talk them back off the ledge? what would you say to them?
I would say these things shall pass. These things shall pass too, because not everything lasts forever. We've been here before, you know, and I think Americans are stronger than we think, because people are waking up. This is the thing. The best thing about the pandemic, there's a good side, is everybody knows what's going on in their schools now. Everybody knows
Agreed.
What their governors
Agreed.
Really are like. Your governor is a dictator during this, and what is he like the rest of the time? So, yeah, and you're seeing things, you know, that you've never seen before. You never had the opportunity. So sometimes bad things will show things. And this is why people are going to the boards, becoming members. People are taking action. A lot of people are running for office because they don't like the way it's going. And your local, your state, or your national, just like General Flynn says, you start at the bottom, that can affect everything to the top. And we both got to talk to General Flynn last year.
Yeah, man, awesome? That was awesome. So, and you know, the thing of it is, and that's, I don't know who said it, but they were right when they did. All politics is local. And if you want to affect Washington, D.C., really, truly affect Washington, D.C., you have to look at what you just talked about. You have to look at your boards of education, your city councils, your county commissions, the people that you're sending to your state houses, the legislators that you send to your state capitals, and the people that you're sending to Washington, D.C. as well. And you have to always look at them very closely. The price of that kind of peace is constant vigilance. And I know that's one that you know about. And in terms of our internal, in terms of our internal prosperity, in terms of our internal security, as well as our security and our standing throughout the world, yes. Yeah. And if these guys that we send to Washington can't get done what we have mandated them to do within the requisite amount of time, then we have to look closely. We have to reexamine. We have to find someone else in which we can place that trust and try them. It's a never-ending process. It doesn't ever stop. And that's the thing I think that a lot of people in the microwave want it now, don't want to worry about it later, want to have lasting permanent solutions. Kind of, they don't see that. They don't understand it. They don't appreciate it. But it's going to be something that we have to do all the time.
And the military does it this way. If the commander doesn't perform, they get rid of him for lack of confidence. That needs to happen in D.C. People should be able to be recalled because you're not doing what we asked you to do. You went there and you have your own agenda, or you've fallen to somebody else's agenda. That's why, like, some of the leaders we have up there are solid people, but, you know, not everybody has that integrity. Not everybody can handle millions of dollars or being forced to do things that they don't want to do, and they can't answer for it. So I believe that's lack of confidence should be part of the rule, just like even the president. It's that important.
We have been talking with, many places with, you can have a vote of no confidence in the government, and the leader has to scrap his guys and they bring in new people that they think can get the job done. And you're right. It should be something, there should be some similar mechanism beyond a midterm election or the next upcoming election. There should be some interim method here in the United States to which we can do that, because, you know, 2 years is a long time, and a guy can do a lot of damage.
Amen.
In 2 years, you know, and or four for that matter. And I think you're right. There has to be some kind of we're down to 90 seconds. That'll be it for us. We've been talking with our friend Kevin White, owner of Brownie Fox Publications, host of the American Allegiance radio program, heard Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. on Patriot Nation Radio here at Blog Talk. Kevin, thank you so much for coming in. It was short notice, but with all the stuff that was going on, I knew that talking with you would bring all the interesting points to light, and you have. Thank you very much for being so generous with your time, and we look forward to having you back with us here very, very soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Kevin. But have a great evening, man. Like I said, thanks for being on with me this evening. I appreciate it tremendously.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, man, that was awesome. He's a great guy, and he's turned into an outstanding radio host. The American Allegiance radio program, 7 p.m. Wednesday here at Blog Talk Radio on Patriot Nation Radio. We're down to 30 seconds thereabouts. Once again, thanks to Kevin. Thank you, guys, for tuning in on the Saturday night special. Don't do this very often, but it was kind of fun. Just getting to do a radio show at all, let alone on Saturday night. Thank you very much for the opportunity to visit with you and talk about these things. We will be back at some point tomorrow, next week, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you sometime next week. You guys take good care.